Hey guys, welcome to another episode of More Than a Podcast. It's your host James, as always, here to give you guys more of the greatness. Oh my goodness, I am back and happy, and everything has been going good this weekend. How's your weekend? Hopefully your weekend's going good. Hopefully it's full of adventures or games or both or just whatever you want it to be about. I know for a fact we got Christmas about a week away. Did you do all of your Christmas shopping, making sure to get the people that you love everything that they could be hoping for or wishing for? Do you think that you're going to get anything good for Christmas? Have you been naughty or have you been nice? Christmas is one of those trivial holidays for me. I usually don't expect much from Christmas, and I don't really give out much for Christmas. I feel like, you know, my interpretation of the holiday is a little bit deeper than presents and whatnot, but, you know, to each his own. Everybody has a different feeling on how they like to celebrate their holidays. So hopefully you and yours are going to be enjoying it by next week. And yeah. So in light of that, what I have done is I've recorded two episodes this week. I don't know which one you guys plan on listening to first, but I did a spoiler cast for Spider-Man. So if you want to check that out, that's one that's uploaded for your pleasure. Could talk all about Spider-Man, give you my perspective, and give you all the things that I liked and enjoyed. And then there's this one, and this one's going to be more about the normals, you know, the normal flow on how we do with this show. So we're going to talk a lot about some games and pop culture, stuff like that. Firstly, starting off with the Analog Pocket. So if you're not familiar with Analog, they basically are a company that has strived to keep alive old school games. So they've been making a lot of renditions on classic systems from yesterday, from the SNES to the classic Sega Genesis, to the now released handheld version of their analog systems, which basically specializes in a lot of the older handheld cartridge games. So the Analog Pocket, I do believe, by default plays a lot of Game Boy games, a lot of Game Boy Advanced games, and I believe that with an adapter it can play Game Gear games. And I'm gonna be quite honest with you, I was actually really, really excited about getting this particular system, but ultimately I bowed out. And reason being is because when I think about my investment in time and where I've played the majority of my games, many of them were not in the past systems that this particular console specializes in recreating the the experience for. But I definitely enjoy what they have done. I don't have all the specs and stuff, but basically it's bigger, it's brighter, it's better. And there's no emulation that is in regards of how you play the games. Like, in order to play the games, you got to have the cartridges and all that stuff. And yeah, and I think for me it was just also a factor of knowing that at no point was I ever a collector of Game Boy games. I wasn't a collector of Game Boy Color games. I played a lot of this stuff, but, it's never been a desire in my heart to say, this is such nostalgia for me, I want to go back. I think about as nostalgic as I've gotten as far as collecting sake has been like maybe the DS. So it's been like I've been going out of my way to get particular games that I enjoyed on the Nintendo DS. But in that same vein, it's been like I got a 3DS so I can just enjoy them there. So no special concessions in order to enjoy games that I liked back then. So you know what's funny is that when the analog was even introduced and I was interested in getting them, you know, the one thing that just turned me off was, and this happens more frequently than I like to think of it, and it's just with these pre-orders going up and they basically, you know, are sold out in like a matter of minutes. So it's just kind of like, you know, it's a snooze you lose, and I just hate that feeling. So when I wasn't able to get a pre-order, you know, then I just said, okay, well, it's not that important to me. It, you know, really wasn't at that time. You know, I figured if I got one, then I could start collecting. But again, it wasn't a big deal. And, you know, I turned around and got myself a new 3DS because I hadn't had a 3DS in quite some time, and went ahead and also re-upped on a new PS Vita, you know. So basically that's how I just kind of tackled my need to play handheld games. Just got some of the better handhelds that I feel like have existed in my time playing games, and I've been happy. So, and recently, it's so funny because, you know, with my 3DS, I've been playing more DS games than anything. I think the first thing I did when I got my my 3DS was I went out and started bidding on Hotel Dusk, Room 215, which is a visual novel investigation game. And it was done by a production company or development team called Sing, C-I-N-G, and which is now, you know, they're debunked and probably off doing their separate things or retired or whatever, but they were really good at their job and they made a heck of a game. And I remember when I first got this particular title, when the DS was like actually a thing, like the actual DS was a thing. And dude, this title was just amazing. And that was one of the things that kind of solidified my understanding on what type of gamer I actually was. Because at that time, you know, we really didn't define ourselves, you know, as gamers. You know, you just gamed and you liked it. But then, you know, came the view of whether you were hardcore or casual or whatever. And, you know, I guess if you want to put me on that spectrum, you can more or less say that I'm a casual gamer. I enjoy games where, you know, there's a bit of dialogue, maybe a little bit of investigative measures here and there, you know, but I'm not in competition of beating any kind of time or beating anybody for that matter. You know, like beating on people has never been like my sole objective. Like, I don't get fighting games to, you know, beat up on people online. I usually just get them to pal around with my friends at home and, you know, beat the story mode with as many characters as I choose and just kind of go from there. But yeah, man, just recently got the Hotel Dusk game and started replaying that. And it's so crazy because it's like, I don't know what it is about me, but man, like anytime I take a break from a game, it basically just gets lost in the void. And that's what happened with Hotel Dusk. And I got really, really far in that game when I originally had it. Got super far. Probably was close to finishing the game. And I don't know, something else probably came out, or I don't know where my interest went, but I just didn't play the game anymore. And what's really crazy is I don't even know where these games went, like, to be quite honest. Like, I think about like DS games and they just seem like they would be a hassle to try to sell to GameStop. So I don't know if I sold it back to GameStop or if I may have lost it or misplaced it or whatever. But yeah, I just don't have the original cartridge, and just decided, you know what, let's just restart this story over. Let's get back to the point where we last left off. Because I do visually remember where I last left off in the game. And so once I get to that point, it's going to trigger, and then I'm going to go beyond that, and I'm going to finish that game. So I'm excited. I've been playing a lot of it and, you know, just kind of drilling through the parts that I remember, trying to find FAQs for the parts that I don't. And yeah, just having a good time. Also, also ordered Order of Ecclesia, Castlevania, which is one of my favorite Castlevania games, especially in the handheld era of Castlevania, because it doesn't have anything to do with a whip-wielding warrior. And it also isn't anything as far as like the Dawn series, I guess they call it, with Soma Cruz. Like, I'm very aware of that series, but I've never ever tried that Dawn series. Like, it just never came onto my radar. But when Order of Ecclesia came out, I remember being so hyped for it because it just seemed so different. And yeah, I wasn't wrong when I got that game. I did beat that game the first time that I played it, and it was a good experience. And I just, you know, I just felt like, man, I want to go back through that, you know, capture those glyphs again, get back to end game. And I think this game also had multiple endings. I'm not sure, but if it did, then I would like to explore, because I've always been one of those gamers that and to be quite honest, they weren't building games like that all the time. You know, like, it was very, very, very rare when you caught a game that had multiple endings. You know, now it just seems like that's like everybody's drive. Everybody's drive is to make a game that has multiple endings. And to be quite honest, like, I'm usually, when I beat a game once, regardless of what ending I got, it's just like I just take the credit for beating it. I think the only time I've ever really said, you know what, I want to see every single way this game goes, is like Bloodborne, because the endings are so ambiguous, and I just always felt like if I look at it from a different perspective, maybe I'll get a different understanding on the overall story. But I've beat it and got all endings, and I still understand completely nothing about the overall story of Bloodborne. But I digress. Yeah, so I've been playing those DS games on my handheld. I've been playing my Vita a lot, man. And I've been, you know, like, I know they had that big old scare earlier in the year where they were going to shut down the PS store for Vita. But then there was this large outcry from people who still, you know, cherished and loved their Vita and still purchased games on there, and people still develop games on there. And, you know, I guess they decided to not shut it down. And so now you can actively, you know, pick up a Vita today and go and get, you know, a huge backlog. And but the only thing about it is it doesn't pertain to like all of their, it doesn't pertain to like their entire library of games they've ever released. You know, they're like, I purchased Danganronpa Danganronpa 2 digitally. And so I was able to go back and re-download that. But I can't go and download 1 and 3 because they completely just wiped them off the store. So there are some games that you just can't go back to and get because of reasons. But, you know, you just, you know, like, for what I'm actually quite blessed, because like when I was into the Vita, like this was a time where I was buying like a game like every week. So I think I have like, I got a stupid amount of RPGs that I have not even touched. From Tokyo Xanadu to some of the games in the Atelier series. I got the Neptunia series that I still got to get through. Like, I got a stupid amount of RPGs. But, you know, eventually I will get through them. You know, one of the other things that I've become really big on is, like, getting into the PS1 classics. So, like, I got a few of those. I think the most recent ones I got, cause it was so funny. Cause like I got, Street Fighter Alpha 3, the PSP version. And it's crazy cause that, no, actually, is it the PSP version? I don't know if it's a PSP version, but I got some version of it, and it's not the same as the PS1 version. And I was super mad about it because my favorite thing about Street Fighter Alpha 3 was the World Tour mode. Which, if you have not played that mode, it's basically like Street Fighter RPG. if if you ever played Tekken 3, there was that mode called Tekken Force. Oh my God, so good. But basically in World Tour mode in Street Fighter Alpha 3, you go through these predetermined fight conditions, and you basically choose whether you're going to do your AX or V style. And then depending on the style and the amount of points you get, you power up those different styles, and you know you're able to enact different you can have things like auto block or auto air block, or harder to make you dizzy, or growing your meter grow automatically or something like that. It's just these different RPG elements, and it's super cool. And I remember me and my friend, we used to sit up all night, all freaking night, and we would just sit here and we would go through as many perfects as we possibly could, and we would just blow out the mechanic to grow a particular skill. So I think if you focus on V skill, it'll give you, because it's the weaker of the three, it'll give you the ability to gain either power or defense, and which means you'll hit harder or you'll block more. And I remember we used to blow out the V skill, max it all the way out to where it couldn't grow anymore, get all this power, and then immediately switch to X or A. X was my favorite because it's basically the strongest skill, but you only had one shot at it. So if you didn't hit whoever you're supposed to hit, you might as well just start over, because you had to grow the meter back. And sometimes you were going against time. Sometimes you were going against just a fiercer opponent. It was just all these different factors. But man, we used to basically max those things out. And they actually have it to where there's secret bosses. So if you if your skills are maxed out by a certain point, they'll allow you to fight Bison. And if they're, if you get so many perfects, or I don't really know what all the caveats are, but basically you get to the point where you can actually fight Shin Akuma, you can fight Evil Ryu. It's just so good. I highly recommend people play Street Fighter Alpha 3 and go to World Tour mode. It's so good. But some of the other PS1 classics I collected was Suikoden 2. Also got Resident Evil 2, because I think that's stupid cool. You always got to... I used to love running through Resident Evil 2. It was one of those games that, because there's a few games, there's that... There's Final Fantasy Tactics, which is another game that I have on my Vita, where I could just beat those games in less than a day. I could just literally sit up in a whole day and just run through the entire game. And I used to do that through one of my summers. I would literally put in, I'd wake up, get myself ready for the day, but then go and play Resident Evil from Leon's disc to Claire's disc, and then Claire's disc back to Leon's disc, and just completely, I was basically doing speed running before it was something defined as speed running. That's the way I played it. I would literally run from all the intro zombies, get myself to the precinct as fast as possible. I knew where everything was. But you know what's so funny is that I think where I used to mess up was with the bosses, because I never knew how to efficiently get through the bosses. So that would always cut into my time. And the reason I know this is because I never got to experience the fourth survivor, and I never got to experience the tofu little secret character. So I never got to see those until the remake. Because I wasn't good with time as far as how I dealt with bosses. I could run through everything else. I knew when to fight whatever zombies, when it was inevitable to fight, or when you could just run. And I used to do it very, very well, but I just, when it came to like the actual fights you had to have, I was just no good at it. I'd just be wasting bullets. But yeah, like those are my handhelds. That's what I've been playing. And I know a lot of people, I know the Analog Pocket, that's what we're originally talking about. I just go off on these tangents, but the Analog Pocket's been shipping, man. I've seen some of my circle on Twitter. You've been posting it, and I think that's super awesome. I think it's super cool. But again, I think it's one of those systems that, you know, you really would focus on it if you're, you know, if you already have a huge backlog of you know, those classic systems, like I said, with the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. I mean, I know Game Boy Advance had some huge games, some really good games back on that console. And I was the thing about the Game Gear games, though, is that you need an adapter. So you got to buy an adapter if you want to play those games. And that was another system that I was really high on back in the day when I was a kid. Like, used to love the Game Gear. And I know like a lot of people knock the Game Gear because, you know, it was big and bulky and this, that, and the other. But did you really care when you were a kid? No, because I know I didn't. but yeah, Analog Pocket, it's out. You know, maybe you could check up on it on Twitter or go to their website and see what it's all about. Maybe you could snag you one. But with all that said, as far as handhelds, the only thing that's reminding me is that the Steam Deck is almost here. Now, Steam Deck probably should have been here by now, but you know, the one thing that I can definitely thank Valve for is that they're really taking their time to make sure they get this right. And I'm super enthusiastic about that. As much news as I wish they were leaking or spilling or whatever, I'm just happy that they're actually taking time. Like, this doesn't seem like a rush job, because this was supposed to be out, you know, holiday, right? Like, right this second it was supposed to be out. But no, it's gonna be out. It got delayed. I think it's slated for a mid or late February release, and that is for the people who first reserved it. And there's still going to be a line, there's going to be queues for people afterwards, but I do believe that I am in the first queue of people who are going to be getting theirs or their opportunity. Because if you don't know, the way that you secured your, they call it reservation, so it's not a pre-order, it's a reservation, so you're reserving your space to pre-order a console or to just outright purchase it, which I think that's how they're just gonna do it. They're just gonna be like, look, it's your turn, you know, where's our clams? And that's gonna be that. but this is, you know, this was also the fallback on me not getting the Analog, was when they announced the Steam Deck, and I'm 110% in for it. I think the mid to late February is good, because it gives people, myself included, enough time to kind of, you know, take in the holiday season, let that kind of you know, die down, and then I can basically rebound and have myself prepared for when I do, you know, inevitably get that notification to process my payments. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. But, you know, it's the one, like, I know a lot of people, because I've talked a lot about the Steam Deck online, you know, and I've also looked into a lot of videos of people talking about the Steam Deck. They were really prevalent back 4 months ago when it first got announced. You know, people were just, you know, so, you know, opinionated about the system. And they swayed, you know, left and right. It, you know, wasn't like overwhelmingly, you know, in favor or against the system. But, you know, people just had their opinions, and I really appreciated that. You know, from what I'm led to understand, the Steam Deck has about 600,000 to 700,000 people who reserved their spot to own a system, which... I'll just tell you right off the bat, and I heard a creator say this online, and I totally 110% agree. that's not going to be the sales. Like, that's not, it's not even going to be close. It's not going to be close, you know, because I think most of the people, I think maybe 85 to 90% of those people did that, you know, attributed to that number on impulse, just because they felt like they didn't want to miss out on something. But as we go through time, you don't really understand what you're missing. You know, like, you don't know what you're going to be missing, because the thing is that Valve isn't really saying too much more about the system than they said 4 months ago. So I think, you know, as time goes on, once, you know, they are presented with the option of purchasing, I believe, just as it was stated by a source, that maybe 85, 90% of people just be like, I'm good. I'm good. Especially if their turns don't come up fast enough. Like, when I was given my option to reserve the system, I knew right away. I said, look, you got to go for the biggest one. The reason being is because they're going to accommodate to those people first before they accommodate to anyone else. And it is reasonable. It does have a reasonable price, especially considering that you're already invested in this from the software end. You already have hundreds of games, right? So, like, it's not like you're going to buy this system and you're going to turn around and be like, oh, great, now I got to go buy games. No, I already got the games. And I think now, and this is for anybody who does plan on buying a Steam Deck, now is the time that you need to be buying those SD cards. You need to be stocking up. You need to go on Amazon, get those deals where you get like 10 for like a, you know, like a factory price or something like that. You need to get a lot of them, because what I anticipate is that, you know, 512 gigabytes of onboard memory is a lot. That's a lot, right? Half a terabyte. But that's not going to be enough, considering the games that A, I already have, and B, that are going to be coming that I would like to have, because everything that I would like to have is going to be forward progressive. Because, like, what I have now, it's probably been games that I've had for the past 10 years, maybe a few games that are, you know, accommodating to today's technology, but not all of them. And that's the big thing. Like if you've listened to podcasts before that I've talked about this, my big gamble was whether I was going to get an Xbox One or a PS5. And to this day, I still am not able to walk into a store and find one. So I took myself out of that equation a long time ago. So now what I'm banking on is I'm going to get this Steam Deck, and I'm basically going to catch up on as much of the new generation games as I can that have either been available for PC or are making their transition to PC. And a lot of it is already happening, because in this past Game Awards, they've already announced that Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming to the PC. Now, whether, and it's not going to matter whether it's going to be on Steam or whether it's going to be exclusive to Epic Store, because guess what? I'm going to be able to sideload the stores no matter what. It's an open source operating system. So I'm going to be able to put an Epic Store there and download whatever I want. So I'll be able to play Final Fantasy VII Remake regardless. But that's all attributing to whether the system is going to be that advanced. Like, they talk a lot about the current technology that is under their hood. And it sounds awesome, right? But how long, you know, and I've said this in past shows, how long is what they have under the hood now going to be relevant to what games they're going to be coming out with in the next 5 years, right? Because that's about as long as I would give a handheld like this. I'd give it like 5 good years. You want it to have 10, of course. But in the next 5 years, you want to make sure that every game that comes out, you're able to get. But I think at 5 years' time, they're either going to rehash the Steam Deck and make like a Steam Deck Pro or something like that, or they're just gonna stop you at that ceiling and just say you can't go past Tales of Arise. You know, like there's just gonna be a ceiling, and I know this. You know, like it's not something that I am, you know, I'm gonna be guessing about. You know, but the one thing that they've spoken confidently about is that everything on Steam will be playable on Steam Deck day one. Okay, perfect. So if it's actively on Steam, I'm gonna be able to play it. So I'm not too worried about that. Let's go into, and I know I've done this part before, but you know, I want to see how much it's changed from the last time I've said it to now. But my top five wishes for the Steam Deck, right? My top five wishes. Now, a lot of the stuff that I would wish for a system like this is already going to be happening. Like, it's going to be open sourced. So, you know, if you choose to flash something else on there, you can. I'm just going to be sideloading stuff. I'm not looking to flash a different operating system. I just want to sideload whatever I can. So that's one of the wishes down. Two, the carrying case. I'm already going to be taken care of. 512 megabyte or gigabyte system comes with that case automatically. And it's so funny because this has been the news that people have been recently tripping over. It's how amazing the case is. And I'm like, dude, I knew the case was amazing when it was offered for free with my system. So I'm not even here to talk about the case, but I'm glad that I'm going to get it, because when you buy things, you know, like, you know, like that, like this handheld, like that, like I feel like that about iPads. I feel like iPads, for as much as they cost, they should just come with freaking cases just off the rip. Like, I don't understand why you have to buy a case to protect something that costs thousands of dollars. Just give me the damn case, you know, like, really. And they always ask you like it's putting cheese on a burger, you know, like, it's, I don't know. So I'm happy. You know, my second wish for them to include a case with my system. Now, the third is I hope that it has seamless internet connectivity. I hope that it doesn't compromise on any connection that I am available to have for it. Whether I'm at work, Starbucks, if I'm mooching, whatever. I want it to just take full advantage of the Wi-Fi that's available and give me the best internet and online experience it possibly can push out. You know, like that, like it's so funny because even to this day, like I just suffer, no matter what kind of connection I got, I suffer drops on the Nintendo Switch like all the freaking time. All the freaking time. You know, and maybe it's a factor of what kind of internet I got. I don't know. But I'm also considering that. I'm also considering, like, yo, what, you know, are you going to have to start looking into different internet providers? Because honestly, with a handheld like this that is capable of emulating a PC experience on the go, bro, that's the point. I don't want to sit and dock anything like that at home. Like, I'm not docking a Steam Deck. I'm not docking a Steam Deck, because at that point you might as well just buy a tower and sit at home. Like, my Steam Deck is literally going to be meant to be thrown in my backpack and used when I am out and away from anywhere that is not home. If I decide to go to the library, if I decide to go and sit at Starbucks and have some coffee, if I decide to go have breakfast at Rudy's, if I decide to go, you know, if I'm dropping somebody off and I'm going to sit in the car, if I'm going to go do laundry and I'm going to sit in my car, you know, like, whatever the factors are, I want to make sure that A, I am well connected And B, I am completely accessible. And with that said, the last wish I got is that, oh, was that four? Yeah, I think that was three. Okay, four. I want to make sure that I'm able to play Final Fantasy 14. Like, I love MMORPGs, but the only way they ever make sense is when you're able to stay connected. And I feel like I owe it to myself to get back into that game, because that was a huge game for me. Like, I know a lot of people, when it comes to MMORPGs, a lot of people will talk about Warcraft and stuff like that. But this was my jam, and I love the game. And the only reason I could never consistently stay committed to the game was because it was always topsy-turvy on where I was experiencing it. And even when I purchased it for PlayStation, other than my character, none of it really transitioned very well. Like, it was cool to play with a controller, but I just felt more at home playing on a you know, mouse and keyboard. But I didn't have the access to the mouse and keyboard at the time, you know, due to reasons. And now I'm just like, okay, I've been playing the console version so long, I think it would be fair to give it a shot in a mobile aspect. And I just love the thought of that. I just love the thought of all those scenarios I was saying, and just running a raid or grinding, or getting, you know, materials or whatever for my, you know, crafting or whatever, just chilling out. You know, I would love that, doing all that on the go. Like that. And that was the other thing about playing it on like PlayStation. It was just like, dude, I'm seriously just grinding, you know, getting materials or fishing and cooking and doing all this stuff. And I'm doing it with a controller. Like it just doesn't feel the same. Like, I'm sitting in front of my TV doing it. And I liked it a lot better when I was able to do it in front of a mouse and keyboard. But I also feel like it would just be interesting to do it while in motion. I'm just buying into the idea of just how can a person play MMORPG while they're just moving. Like, I'm imagining myself on my skateboard with my damn Steam Deck in my hand, and I'm playing freaking, you know, Final Fantasy 14. Like, to me, that would just be like the peak of just of everything I want to do at this very moment. But yeah, and I think the last thing that the last wish I would have for the Steam Deck, man, is that I just wish and hope that they sell enough to just continue to support it. Cause the last thing, I've heard about, you know, Steam and like how they kind of treat a lot of their, you know, technology that comes out, and how everything outside of the Vive, is it the Vive? It's one of their, no. Whatever their VR system is, you know, short of that, they don't really get behind anything. And I just don't, like, I don't want that to be the case. Like, I don't want it to be like they make this system and, you know, it just kind of falters to the side. I mean, honestly, even if it did, the bottom line of just having it in my hands, it's going to negate everything. Cause it literally will be like a PC in my hands. And a PC is always going to be accessible no matter what. Like, I could, you know, at the point that they stop supporting it and they stop updating their firmware or whatever, then I might flash it and put something else different on there. But, I mean, what my hope is that they continue to refine it, make it better, make it more, you know, accessible, and just continue to just make sure that we get the best experience possible. You know, and I hope, oh my God. And the last bonus one is I hope it has a really, really good battery life. I know they say that if you're like playing like a AAA game, I think they said that it'll last up to like 8 to 10 hours, which that's relatively good, because to be quite honest, I don't really sit for 8 to 10 hours playing games anymore. Like, I don't. I think the most I'll grind out and play is maybe 3 to 4. And that's just me, like, grinding. Like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and just drink some Mountain Dews or whatever. Like, yeah, probably be, like, 3 to 4 hours. It would never be past 8 or 10. Never. Like, not even an RPG. I just couldn't. Would I play Final Fantasy 14 for that long? No. It'll still stay in the, 3 to 4 hour range. So, yeah, I don't foresee myself having a battery issue, but I just hope that it's long enough to where it just doesn't compromise my experience in the moment. So, like, if I'm literally in the moment of playing, like, I don't want to see a flashing battery screen or a please plug in screen, you know, in less than 2 to 3 hours. Like, that would just really bug me. Because I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, you're just taking me out of the element. But, you know, overall, the one thing that I'm getting out of all this is that handheld gaming is not dead, not at all. And I know a lot of that has been, you know, the forefront of companies like Nintendo and stuff. But I really think Valve is just really smart and daring because, dude, they're putting out a handheld system in a market where most people just by default name Nintendo the victor. And it's like, nah, that's not the way you should go about it. Like, it's just like wrestling, dude. Like, WWE cannot and should not be the only promotion running stuff. You got to have competition because you got to have somebody out there to show you that there's something you're not doing 110% on and that you can do better with. You know, the Switch is not perfect. There is no perfect anything, you know? And I think that the moment you look at something short of like your wife or your kids and think that they're perfect or think that it, you know, let's talk more material. If you think something materialistic is perfect, then you're not taking the full scope of what it is, you know, because everything can be improved upon, everything. And I would say the same thing about the Steam Deck. Like, when the Steam Deck comes out, I know they're, and I'm pretty sure that within the first 2 years, they'll probably have a slimmer version of the Steam Deck. You know, maybe the, because I believe the 512 version is the only one that has the glass display, which is really funny because I know there are people that were saying the glass display had more questionable contrast as far as the view of it, and that the lesser of the two was actually better to look at. And I was just like, you know what? I think it's all about perception. I really do. I think it's all about perception. So I think when I get, you know, because it's just like when people keep telling me oh, the Vita LCD is the best, and bro, I got that one. I've had that one. I've played that one so many times, more than I played any of the slim versions. And playing the slim version, I can't tell. I haven't been able to tell. There's nothing so radically different from the original PlayStation Vita to the Vita Slim that I'm able to tell, other than the Vita Slim being lighter and easier to hold. It's the only thing. As far as view wise, and I'm not blind, I just don't see any difference. It's just like with HDTV. That's why I don't have a 4K TV, because until I can see something visibly that is just altering the way that I'm experiencing television, I don't need one. It's nothing altering about the way, yeah, of course they look all crazy when you're standing in Best Buy and Target and Walmart, because those scenes are optimized for that viewing. But how many freaking shows are optimized for the view of the technology that's in your TV? Hardly none, unless you're watching the Discovery Channel all day. it's just never going to make sense for me. But Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I even had a sentiment that I expressed online, and I really, really wish that somebody from Valve would like get on this podcast and hear this. Like, Valve needs to do pop-up events. They need to start doing them in January and ride them in the February. They need to be going around the country, and they need to be allowing people to play the Steam Deck. You know, you're not selling them at retailers, so we already understand that, and that's fine. But maybe go to college campuses. Go to college campuses, set up a few tents or set up a large tent, you know, and just, you know, have at least like maybe 50, 60 Steam Decks for people to just kind of walk up, play, have some of them loaded with racing games, some of them loaded with platformers, some of them loaded with RPGs, you know. Have some that are set up that are connected between each other for maybe some, you know, maybe a four player co-op or 2-on-2 PvP, you know, and just give people that experience of just actually playing that system. Because I think the one tricky thing as far as looking forward to purchasing it is just giving the blind faith, which I've already attributed that with my $5. You know, that was complete blind faith. It was like, you know what? I trust that they're going to come out with a system that is going to do exactly what they say it's going to do, and I'll be fine. But it's like, it would make me feel better if they attempted to put proof in the pudding. And proof doesn't come from, you know, these different websites, because I know they had the thing where they allow people to come up to Washington and, you know, play Steam Deck for like, I think like 4 to 6 hours or something like that. And not only play it, but like, you know, ask them questions about it and do all this, take pictures and do all this stuff with it. And, you know, try to sideload stuff and blah, 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 blah. You know, like that was cool. But like their perspective doesn't mean anything to my personal experience of having it in my hands. And I'm not flying to Washington. So get your tails down. You know, all you got to do is just go. I mean, just go to all of your big market cities, you know, do one in Los Angeles, you know, do one in the Bay Area, you know, hit Texas, hit Florida, hit New York, hit Chicago. Just hit your big marketplaces. And then from that, you know, we as content creators on the opposite end of the spectrum can have our perception, and we can give more of the eye level tests to people who may be invested in our medium. Cause like, yeah, it's cool to look at tested.com and IGN.com and GameSpot.com and every other .com having their experience, but we are the little people, you know, like we kind of matter too. And I personally don't buy games or systems because a website told me to. But if I have a line of people that I interact with on a daily, and somebody in that circle said, yeah, I actually went to that pop-up event that they had in San Francisco, and I'm telling you right now, that thing is lighter than it looks. It's faster than it seems. And I was able to play a AAA game for the entire 6 hours because nobody came and took me off the system. And it never showed me a battery sign. This thing is going to be legit. Bro, I would be more bought into that than, you know, these websites that spoke about the system 4 months ago. And I know a lot of, I know they are sending out a lot of the dev kits, which the dev kits don't look too different than the actual system that they're going to, you know, retail. They look exactly the same. But, you know, it is what it is. But one thing that, I want the dev kits to inspire people to make games not for it. I just want it to give people the faith in it. So I don't want developers to get it and be like, oh yeah, we got this game that's totally just going to be an exclusive to the Steam Deck. Like, no, that's not what I want. I just want people to say, oh, okay, well, you know, I made Tales of Arise. Let me take my Tales of Arise code and you know, load it into this system and see how well it plays. Oh, okay, I can actually optimize this so it can play a little better. Even though they have it on Steam, I can give them a version that will allow it to be more optimized. You know, like that's what I hope that we get from these developers. And then, yeah, maybe in a way take advantage of some of the different features that the actual Steam Deck does have. You know, like the twin thumb pads, like the smooth thumb pads are kind of they're kind of like representation of like the mouse. I mean, there's so many different things that I like look at and I'm just like, dude, they can make this work for so many different things, and I'm just completely on board with what they plan to do. All I want is just a chance to just experience it myself. And, you know, yeah, two months is right around the corner. You know, it'll be a blink of the eye and then the system will be available. But again, the experience would have been that much sweeter if I would have had the opportunity to, you know, at least play around with it. And going back to what we first talked about, would that have been the same as like the Analog Pocket? No, because the Analog Pocket, you know what to expect out of that. That wasn't them innovating something. Like, the only thing that you would have had to question is how well is it going to project my games? Like, how bright is bright and how colorful is colorful? Like, that's basically it. And to me, that's really not a factor of like gameplay. There was nothing else. It was just like, it's going to play every game that you can imagine. Every game that's ever been on any other system, it's going to play it. We know it. And yeah, they're saying the same thing about the Steam Deck, but this is a different thing. You know, this is like, you build something like the Analog Pocket to stay within a lane. And they confine themselves to a particular lane that can take care of, you know, a myriad of different things. With a Steam Deck, you got to kind of future-proof yourself without really future-proofing yourself. And that's going to be the gamble. That's going to be what I'm going to be like. If I was able to hold one in my hands and actually play it, I would be able to determine, yeah, this is definitely going to last for the next 10 years. You know what I mean? Because like me, if I had the opportunity, dude, I would look. If I was playing tomorrow, I'd want to play Final Fantasy 14. I'd want to play The Witcher 3. I'd want to play Control for sure, which I already think somebody said that in order to get Control to run at 60 frames per second, which I really don't even care about. Like, frames, I don't ever care about. But, you know, just for the sake of argument, they said, you know, to get it to run, they did have to lower some of the preset renderings, which that's something that I really don't want to have to do. I would just, you know, and I think they did also say that the system will play games at the recommended settings, you know, which usually shows up in the high to mid range. Like, I don't think they ever said like, oh, it just, you know, we put this one game in and just everything is on ultra. Like, no, I don't think that's the case. But I think for what it's worth, you'll get an experience that will look up to par with current generation at the time, because I think give current generation at least one more year, and like we're already looking at games from the Video Game Awards and stuff where the graphics were just like, oh my god, it just looks so real. Even like with like the Matrix Awakens, like that is just like surreal. But that will be a testament. That will be a testament game. Can we run that on the Steam Deck? I mean, it's a PS5 exclusive right now, but no, actually, I think it's also on Xbox. I'm talking out my butt, but I would love to see that on the Steam Deck. That would be cool. That would be really, really cool. Because then at that point, you're showing me that you're trying to keep up with the time that is current, that is present, and not just make yourself complacent for the past. So what do you think? Did you guys grab a Analog Pocket? Have you purchased any systems from Analog before? Are you planning on getting an Analog Pocket? Or are you like me and you just have different consoles for different reasons and you just play them all? What's your thought on Steam Deck? I know I bring it up all the time. You guys know I'm pro Steam Deck. But are you undecided? Have you decided that you're not going to get it? Are you decided that you will get it? Have you already put your $5 down and you're just waiting for that email to say, give me those clams? What are you hoping and thinking and wishing that the Steam Deck is able to do? And also, would you be all right, or would you be a little bit more secure if, you know, we were able to have like events or some kind of, you know, conference where we can go and play the actual Steam Deck? I'd love to hear you guys' responses. You guys are always cool when you talk to me on Twitter. Really enjoy that. For those of you who don't know me on Twitter, you can always hit me up at More. That's MOORETA podcast. That's More TA podcast on Twitter. Love to talk to new people. Love to talk to my good friends, my good circle, and everybody in between. So with that being said, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, as I always enjoy giving you guys the greatness. That being said, you know to do me that favor. Take care of yourselves and each other, and I will see you guys next time. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.